Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
You can speed up decoding by inventing less. You can speed it up by inventing more and checking faster.
We used to call that speculative decoding, but it still has a weird speed tax.
Right? If the checker is still thinking, the inventing line has to stand still. Sawara says, why not let both run at once? Chapter 1. Why standard speculative decoding still bites its own tail.
Let's start there. In standard speculative decoding, a fast draft model proposes a batch of next tokens for a slow but high-quality target model.
Correct. The target model verifies each proposed token in one parallel pass. If each token is accepted, we get a bunch of outputs at once.
So the idea is obvious. One cheap proposer, one expensive verifier, and we avoid doing target work one token at a time.
Exactly. And in many cases, that works brilliantly. We get throughput gains, better latency, fewer expensive calls.
Then why invent all this new complexity? Why not just keep tuning the draft and call it a day?
Because normal speculative decoding still has a sequential bottleneck, and it is brutal. The verifier has to finish before the next speculation can even begin. It is like a race where the runner can only sprint once the last checkpoint clocked in.
So, the verifier is the bottleneck, not the draft model.
Often, yes. The draft model may finish quickly, but it then waits at the checkpoint wall. It cannot move ahead while the target model is still deciding whether those tokens are valid.
That means all available hardware on the draft side can go idle every cycle.
Which is ironic, because speculative decoding is designed to save time. If one side is idle, we are carrying dead weight.
The name sounds like confidence in early planning, but there is still a lot of serial dependency. You can parallelize inside the verifier call, but not across calls.
Exactly. The draft model and verifier are no longer truly overlapping in time. The system can look parallel, but at the step boundary, it is sequential.
And that sequential boundary is where decoding time hides.
Think of it in plain words. Propose tokens quickly, send them for vetting, then wait, then propose next. Weight is the currency. Even if weight is short for one token, multiplied across long generations, it becomes heavy.
The method still beats plain autoregressive generation, but only until the verification cadence catches up.
Right? You get improvements, but less than theoretical, because the loop is still one token block after another, Saguaro asks. Can we make the verifier's waiting phase itself an overlap window? Chapter 2. The speculative decoding idea.
Here is where the title gets weird. Speculative decoding.
It is weird by design. The paper says it takes the speculative pattern and adds a second layer of speculation inside it.
So there are two speculative layers. One, proposing final tokens, and one predicting how many of those will survive verification.
Exactly. While the verifier checks a block, the draft model does not sit idle. It predicts the likely outcome of the verification.
Outcome meaning exactly how many of the proposed tokens will be accepted, and what the bonus token will be.
Yes, the key phrase is accepted count and bonus token, because standard speculative decoding returns not just accept, reject history, but also one next token once verification stops.
So, if the verifier accepts N tokens and then finds a bonus token, that pair is the expected branch state for the next step.
Sawaro calls that a likely branch, pre-computes it, and stores the branch states in a speculation cache while the verifier is still busy.
So now when verification finishes, it can compare real outcome to predicted outcomes in that cache.
If it matches, we can continue immediately, as if the future was already there. The draft did useful work during the verifier interval. No stalling. That is the cash hit case.
And if it does not match?
Then we fall back. We do synchronous speculative decoding for that step, like ordinary SD, that is the cash miss case.
So the algorithm is not gambling blindly on one fixed next speculation. It is keeping multiple plausible branches pre-computed.
Correct. The summary from the paper gives the structure well. Pre-speculate for each likely verification outcome in parallel, then use cache lookup after the verifier returns.
This sounds like prediction in the control flow sense. You're hedging against unknown verifier behavior.
That is exactly the right mental model. The verifier tells you truth later, but you asked lots of futures to be ready.
And if one of those futures is right, you skip expensive recomputation.
Exactly. In that case, the draft model contribution for those speculative steps is effectively free in wall time, because it overlapped perfectly with verifier execution.
In the paper, they call this zero draft overhead on cache hit.
Yes, that phrase means the draft does not extend total critical path at all when the pre-specified outcome was correct. The verifier still does work, but the draft side is no longer serially slowing the loop.
So there is a hidden queue of futures. Could this run away in memory? We need bound that.
Every practical system chooses a set of likely branches, not all branches. The cache is bounded. But importantly, the cache is an optimization structure, not a semantic replacement for correctness.
So correctness still depends on verifier and fallback.
Correctness is always enforced by target model verification. The cache only changes what we try first and when. Chapter 3. Predicting verifier outcomes with draft logic.
The key technical question is how the draft decides those likely branches.
The paper says it uses draft logits. It is not just asking the draft for next tokens, it predicts how likely each target acceptance count and bonus token is from draft evidence.
Draft logits are probability scores for each token candidate at each position. Why does that help with acceptance count?
Because acceptance pattern under speculative decoding is heavily coupled to draft confidence structure. If the target model aligns with draft for a longer run, both likely tokens and the breakpoint become predictable.
So instead of predicting only token sequences, it predicts verification shape.
Precisely. But this creates a tension. If you only maximize prediction accuracy of the verifier outcome, you may lower the quality of the proposed text in the actual speculation path. If you maximize quality only, you may predict less reliable outcomes.
So the paper explicitly says there is a trade-off between predicting outcomes and maintaining high-quality speculations.
Right. And Sahuaro introduces a sampling algorithm to balance that. It is the algorithmic core, not just a wrapper on speculative decoding.
Balanced how? Weighted objective?
Think of a dial between branch certainty and generation quality. The sampler biases toward futures that are likely enough to be cached hits, but still preserves target-like diversity and reduces degeneration of text quality.
So it's not just top-scoring branches?
No. If it were only top scores, misses may rise in cases where the verifier's actual outcome differs. Conversely, if too broad, you spend budget generating low-quality speculation.
I can see a concrete failure mode. If you always trust draft over quality, you might repeatedly cache hit wrong branches with awkward outputs.
Exactly. Sahuaro's approach is to estimate branch utility by combining token probability and branch likelihood, then sample from that balance. The draft model is doing both language modeling and branch forecasting.
The summary says up to 90% bonus token prediction accuracy from draft logits. That's the headline.
Yes, that is surprisingly high for this narrow prediction task, and it is enough to make cache hits meaningfully frequent.
What does bonus token mean in this context again? One more token from target when verification ends.
When verification stops, the target model provides a next token. It is like the fork that continues beyond the accepted draft run. Predicting that token matters because it is part of the next step state.
If both accepted count and that bonus token are right, you skip both drafting and checking overhead for that entire branch.
Right? and that is the ideal fast path. The verification result arrives with confirmation that the speculative branch was exactly right.
Did the paper define a fixed maximum speculation length for each step?
The summary we have does not list that, and I should not invent beyond it. What it does say is that multiple likely outcomes are pre-computed in parallel and stored. So imagine a small ensemble of plausible futures, not an unbounded tree.
That's good restraint. We avoid asserting parameters we cannot verify.
Exactly. We should trust only what the supplied source gives. Chapter 4. Cache misses, fallback strategy, and where the speed actually comes from.
So when does this help? And when does it hurt?
The paper gives three central challenges and one practical outcome. First, branch prediction with accuracy from draft logits, including bonus token. Second, the quality versus prediction trade-off in sampling. Third, fallback strategy for cache misses.
Let's unpack fallback. If a predicted outcome misses the cache, you said it falls back to regular speculative decoding. Is that slow?
It can be slower than ordinary SD if handled badly, because you may spend extra effort and still not get the speed benefit.
So fallback policy matters.
Yes. And they found optimal fallback policy changes with batch size.
Meaning, if you generate many parallel requests, you might choose different recovery logic than with one long request.
Exactly. In small batch mode, you can sometimes tolerate more aggressive speculation because cache misses are cheap enough relative to verifier cadence. In larger batches, the miss penalty compounds and can dominate.
That sounds operationally important. Any deployment with dynamic request mix needs adaptive logic.
The paper suggests this directly. Fallback strategy should not be fixed. It should tune by batch context.
If I were building this, I'd likely branch on current verifier queue depth and observed hit rate.
That is the right intuition. If you hit often, cache path is a pure win. If hits fall, you back off speculation breadth.
And because this paper is about speed without changing the underlying sampling distribution, it is careful about correctness.
Yes, they emphasize lossless generation mathematically equivalent to sampling from the target distribution.
So, not approximate, not truncated in a way that shifts probabilities.
Exactly. The verifier still determines acceptance and ensures the sample path matches the target model's true conditional distribution.
That is why it can be a drop-in for systems that care about distributional faithfulness.
Yes. Any speed-up with changed semantics is less attractive than this. Here they claim both efficiency and sampling equivalence.
I remember another result. Still faster than standard speculative decoding, even at larger batch sizes.
Right? The summary states still around 20% faster than SD in larger batches, while keeping the SD baseline behind and plain autoregressive behind by a lot.
Those baselines in this paper include optimized SD and autoregressive decoding.
Correct. Optimized SD is the immediate baseline, and they show up to 2 times faster versus it under certain settings.
And up to 5 times faster than autoaggressive.
Yes, according to the summary from the experiments on specific hardware and model setup.
Which setup was that exactly?
Llama 3.1 with 70 billion parameters for the target model, running tensor parallelism across 4H100 GPUs, and a Llama 3.2 with 1 billion as draft. The draft runs on 1H100 in parallel with verifier.
So the hardware split matters. One draft node plus 4 verifier nodes, overlapping.
Precisely. The method does not just shift arithmetic, it orchestrates hardware overlap across role-specific compute.
This sounds like a practical system design, not only paper abstraction.
Exactly. The whole point is to stop waiting, not to redesign model train. Chapter 5. Synthesis. Speculative execution for the model era.
The CPU analogy from the paper helps memory. SSD to speculative decoding as speculative execution to CPU branch prediction.
Yes, in CPUs, the processor continues down predicted branches while condition flags are unresolved. If prediction is right, results commit cheaply. If wrong, roll back and recover. This is the same game.
Except here, the branch is verification acceptance trajectory, under a target model.
Right, and the machine that does pre-execution is the draft model. It is a separate hardware-software lane.
I call it speculative. Speculative, then. If it sounds almost obvious once you see it.
Because names are often the shortest summary. The method is speculative decoding that speculates over its own future outcome. A bit recursive, but memorable.
And that recursion is where people may get cautious.
Caution is valid. You cannot cache wrong trajectories and keep them. Verification remains source of truth.
So the safety argument is clean. Precompute possibilities, not convictions.
Exactly. The draft suggests the target chooses. If target and draft diverge, fallback ensures correctness.
Is there still room for improvement?
Plenty. The paper already says the fallback strategy is context-dependent. There are likely better predictors than current draft logit branch estimators. There are likely better cache management heuristics and richer branch policies.
But for now, the results are already strong.
They are 2 times faster than optimized speculative decoding and 5 times faster than pure autoregressive in the reported setting. Lossless by design, better overlap on real hardware, and with cache misses handled deliberately, still faster at larger batches.
For practical deployment, the upside is obvious in latency-sensitive settings.
Long context generation, real-time chat, and multi-tenant services all pay for every saved step. If this method keeps mathematical identity while gaining overlap, it changes the economics.
Where do you see risk?
Not in correctness proof, which is explicit, in engineering complexity, because now there are moving pieces. Predictor quality, cache lifecycle, branch policy, batch-aware fallback.
Which implies observability becomes essential. If caches start underperforming, you need telemetry on branch hit rate.
Exactly. No one should trust a speed-up claim without measuring hit ratio, miss fallback cost, and drift on token quality.
Speaking of quality, the tension between prediction and quality means we still have to monitor semantic health.
We do. The sample path is mathematically equivalent, but only if the process is implemented exactly and no shortcuts leak in. Engineering discipline is still the decisive factor.
The author list in this summary is just Tanishq Kumar Stanford, with the paper link and code repository.
Correct. One researcher, one Stanford line and code in GitHub repository named SSD.
So if we had to explain SSD to a newcomer, we would say it is a way to keep the draft model productive while the verifier is still thinking.
Perfect summary. It uses prediction to fill the verifier bubble with parallel precomputation.
And if the precompute matches, you sail through.
And if it does not, you back out cleanly.
In other words, speed comes from making the waiting phase do useful work rather than nothing.
That one sentence captures the whole paper.
One last skeptical check. Is this just clever engineering around a narrow benchmark setup?
It is a fair question.
The summary says the main reported numbers are from Llama, 3.170 billion, with 4H101 billion draft model. That is real-world scale, not toy.
Right, but yes, as with any method, broader ablations and different tokenizers, coding tasks, and multilingual corpora matter. The method gives a template, not a final universal claim.
So we can see it as a systems primitive that broadens the frontier of inference scheduling.
Exactly. It reframes token-by-token generation as a prediction problem with controlled speculation across likely futures.
Then, one could imagine future versions with multi-hop speculation layers, maybe planner-like branch depth, maybe dynamic hardware budgets.
The idea space is wide, but the key is keeping correctness anchored.
So, the headline is not only faster decoding.
It is faster decoding without changing the distribution.
Which is why this feels different from distillation and draft quality tricks alone.
Distillation trades model behavior for speed. This keeps target behavior and trades waiting for branch-aware overlap.
Then maybe this is how inference systems stop treating generation as purely serial.
Perhaps. If speculative decoding was the first major escape from strict autoregression, speculative decoding is the next optimization loop.
I think that is a great closing line.
Dispatches from the edge.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
New world in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.